Maybe I'm just like weird. Maybe I'm crunchy.
This is The Southern Tea with Lindsay Chrisley.
I think it's so funny when you get Christmas cards and all of these people write their children's accomplishments on the back. I don't love them.
A Southern girl and a boy mom who's trying to navigate life while staying true to her roots.
I am a functioning, non-functioning human being right now.
Join Lindsay each week as she swears to spill the tea, the whole tea, and nothing but the tea.
That is the tea.
Here's Lindsay.
Hello. Good morning. Welcome back to another episode of The Southern Tea. Hello, Kristen.
Oh my goodness. Hello, Lindsay Chrisley. It's been a minute.
I know. Listen to this.
Oh, is that a Alani or is that a Coke?
I'm still off the Coke. Do you know that I have not had one? I stopped counting, but it feels like 8 or 9 weeks.
I was going to say, you're edging on like 3 months.
Isn't that crazy?
It's insane because you just quit cold turkey with no warning.
With no warning. I am on my second Alani for the day. That's a whole nother conversation for another time. And I'm kind of pretending like it's an actual mimosa, not just the flavor mimosa.
That's their new one though, right? One of their new ones, I think.
I feel like I've been having it for a while. So if it's new to you, then it can be new, but it's old to me.
Oh, okay. I can't keep up. They come out with flavors like we change our underwear, you know?
Oh my gosh, but it's so good. And the second one never hits as good as the first one, because I feel like you're so used to the flavor by the time you get to the second one. And I'm not quite sure that 200 milligrams of caffeine was intended to have it twice in the same day.
No.
But that's okay.
That can't be healthy, but we're thriving, so it's fine.
I need to tell you something that I did over the weekend.
Ooh, please do.
Actually, it was like the start of my weekend. So going to start off with, I decided to take a 72-hour social media hiatus to the point that I deleted all social media apps off of my phone.
I'm so proud of you though, because didn't it feel so good?
It did. I was a little stressed because I felt so disconnected from everything that was going on. But then that was the reality check, right? Like, I don't need to know what's going on.
Yeah, it's like you realize how – I don't want to use the term addicted lightly, but realistically, like how accustomed you are to constantly checking and refreshing and having that at your fingertips, that it's like withdrawal almost.
Remember how I talked about how people have patterns of things that they do on their phone and don't even realize it?
Oh, yeah.
And so when you go on your phone, it's like, and you guys should test this theory. When you go on your phone, watch yourself. On what apps you click on, and if you like check your email and then Instagram and then Facebook, because mine is like a specific pattern.
Same. Actually, everybody should turn their phone on screen record and like leave it for an hour and just see what you do in that hour on your phone. I'm genuinely curious.
I also need to know how many other people get stressed out about having little storage on their phone and then having to go through and delete a bunch of shit.
So
just
me,
to send a text message out.
Me, but I play this fun game called when it gets like now, I used to stress real bad. Now I get to the point where if I hit that threshold and like it keeps happening to me for a solid 2 weeks, no matter what I'm deleting, then I play the game of what's the next size up that we're going to purchase in a phone.
See, I just don't want to do that because I truly feel like I don't give in to like instant purchases. I feel like I'm pretty good about that. Like I think about purchases for a long period of time before I do them. I mean, there's occasional things that I'm like, okay, I'm just going to like go ahead and get that. But when it's like larger purchases, I'm very methodical in thinking about it. And if I don't need it and I can just delete stuff off of my phone that I don't need, then I need to invest the time in deleting the stuff off of my phone versus just getting a bigger storage phone. Because I also, anytime I ever do get a new phone, I never move over the stuff from my phone before to the next one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See, with me with work and all the stuff that I have stored on my phone, that is like a need. I can't do that. Like I used to be that person who would like wait to buy a phone and all that stuff, and I would buy the same memory and all that. But once I started taking on more clients and stuff, I just know that I need it and I just go up, which thankfully I'm sitting at like the 500 and some gigabyte, I don't think I'm going to need to go up. But surprisingly, like, that's already full. Or not full. It's halfway full.
Wait. I think mine's like 64.
Oh, yeah. No. I could never.
Like,
my emails alone would take that.
It's so stressful. And then when it starts popping up, like, you need more storage, it's like, fuck. Like, I just to send a text message out, I had to go and delete like large attachments off of there. And I was like, okay, this is not functional. I need to like find a better way to do this. So I think in the next hiatus that I take on social media, I'm going to invest the time in deleting all of the shit off of my phone that I don't need. But this weekend, I went through my entire garage and just purged like stuff that I no longer need. And honestly, no one else would even have use for. Speaking of though, other people having use for my stuff, I saw something on one of the Facebook groups that was like, I'm waiting for Lindsay to go over to Will's house and see something at his house that he bought from Goodwill that she dropped off.
I saw it. It was in the Southern Tea and I was dying laughing.
I was like, I swear, but see, I don't have to do that because Will regularly comes to my house and cases the entire place, and anything that strikes his fancy might leave with him. So
you are the Goodwill.
I basically am the Goodwill of new items, but I cleaned out my entire garage, try to like reorganize. Does anyone like try to organize something and they think it's functional for a period of time and then you realize how dysfunctional it is? So then you like reorganize it a different way?
Yeah. That's literally me, where I'll think that I have a great system in place. And then
yeah,
maybe 6 months later, I'll get like a wild hair up my ass and I'm like, this actually no longer works for anyone. And I rip it apart and then I figure out a new way to do it.
Oh, yeah. So I played that game in my garage on Friday. It's been so hot and humid here, though. I had to wait until the sun like started going down a little bit. So I worked for a couple of hours on my garage, my front porch, and my back porch. And I also want to let everyone know that I have officially bamboozled Nanny Faye.
Oh, tell me the latest how you did this.
So remember how I posted a picture of my or videos of my completely fried ferns?
Yeah.
And I gave it the crazy haircut and it like just it wasn't working.
Yeah.
So I decided after lots of DMs and people telling me that I could rehabilitate them, a lot of people were telling me that I just needed to start over and call it a day. So I took the second approach on starting over and calling it a day. So I went to Lowe's. I feel like a psychopath. I went to Lowe's and tried to pick out ferns that looked similar to my other ones. Like, oh, this one has a crazy hair going this way because obviously she'll notice. Took my dad's brother's daughter, so my cousin, I took her advice. She sent me a message when she saw the videos on my Instagram and she was like, just go to the store and buy new ferns. Never say anything about it and Nanny will never know. Why am I terrified of letting my grandmother know that I killed off my ferns?
Because she's then going to be concerned about the well-being of your child.
I know. I'm like, I can keep a dog alive. I can keep a human kid alive,
and like half your ex-husband. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was doing good in life. And then I got into the plant game and it's been just bad ever since. But I bought two new ferns, put them on my back porch and think that they're like in a better spot because they have some shade. And then I put hydrangeas on my front because they're like hardier. So I'm hoping that they'll survive a little bit better. But then I have to tell y'all, I had hummingbirds at my old house and I absolutely loved them. We had a hummingbird feeder on the back porch and there was three different type of hummingbirds that would come daily to this feeder. And so I was like, you know what? Like, I really miss those birds. So I'm going to go and buy this hummingbird feeder and don't really know what the hell I'm doing, but I'm going to try. So I buy this like can of nectar and it basically looks like, if you put it in your refrigerator, you would mistake it for like a Coca-Cola Classic. pour it in there and it looks all nice and juicy and put it out there. And no hummingbirds have come. So I'm like, okay, maybe I'm going to try like a more natural approach. So I'm going to get just like sugar water and put it out there and see if I have any better results. Still no hummingbirds. Like, how long does it take them to come?
I don't know, because I have tried unsuccessfully for years to get hummingbirds to come. I've tried every like syrup that you could possibly put in those things. And all I actually get is ants that start like a little army that just go up and down the pole up to the sugar water, and they just go in it and then they come out, and it's disgusting. So I gave up after a while because I was sick of watching ants and no hummingbirds.
Okay, well, I haven't had the ant problem yet, but watch, as soon as I say this,
I'll be getting a call to like call the exterminator back.
I'll have an ant problem, but I got my garage all cleaned out and everything's good. I had that pressure washer in full speed. Whoever sent me a message about I shouldn't be using flip-flops while pressure washing, I didn't get it on my feet, but I did try to like lower the pressure a little bit and rinse off my hand. And when I did, it cut my entire cuticle. So
I have a story about that. Yep.
You do?
Oh, yeah. So my father-in-law was using like the crazy high-powered pressure washer one time at his house. We pulled up. I'm talking to him. He's talking to me, not paying attention. It goes right. He puts it like over his foot on accident because he's looking at me and not at the ground. And it literally blew a hole through his foot. Like, literally had to immediately go to the ER. Yeah. Yep. It was disgusting.
So those stories are actually true that people told me.
Yeah. And I couldn't understand why he was screaming because I never thought to look down. And I was like, what's the big deal? Till I saw the bloody foot. And I was like, oh, okay.
So that's what happened. Mm-hmm. I also was very productive in my house this weekend. I was going through a box of stuff. So right before my parents reported to their prisons, they had me come to Tennessee to go through the storage and get out like all of my childhood things that they had held on to. And it was like dance costumes, like my baton, childhood photos, like all that kind of stuff. And I had left it in my garage because I wasn't really ready to go through that and stuff, because I just felt like maybe this is going to bring up emotions that I'm not ready to deal with. So I left it in my garage. And I opened up the lid and started crying in the garage. So I was like, okay, now I think it's time for me to just like go through this part, because it's going to solve two problems. It's going to get it out of my garage and I'm already crying, so I can just continue going on.
See, that's hard when you're going through sentimental stuff, for sure.
It's so hard. And then I also found my college diploma that Will's parents got me framed. And I'm like, oh, so what am I supposed to do with that?
Put it in your office, duh.
Duh. I'm like, does everybody just need to know that I have a marketing degree? Like, can I not just say it?
I mean, I just feel like it's such an accomplishment that it's, you know, worth putting up for sure. And if it's already framed, I would definitely do it. But it's interesting because I don't think that like employers actually verify where you went to school. Like most everyday jobs, if you tell them you went to college and did this, I don't think they ever check.
What do you mean they don't check? There's not like a database for them to check?
I don't necessarily think so. I mean, if they background check you, maybe they could find something, but like, I don't know. I don't know if they go through like a whole verification process to make sure you actually graduated college in like an everyday Joe Schmo job.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. I would love to know, anybody who's listening to this, have you had your education verified through your employer?
I'm also curious. And I say that because like I used to be paranoid when I was younger about losing my high school diploma. I was goodbye. Like, I'm going to literally never be able to get a job if I lose this thing. Like it basically held as much of a fear grip on me as like quicksand did as a child.
Oh, and wow. We love that.
Yeah. It was like not okay. And like, I think I've only ever been asked for my high school diploma, like literally at my first job. That's never been asked of me again.
Wow. I'm very concerned. This episode is brought to you by IQBar. Now get 20% off every IQBar product plus free shipping when you text T to 64,000. I just ordered a bunch of new stuff from IQBar, and mainly in preparation for my trip, because you know how I love to have car snacks, but my car snacks need to be healthy snacks. And I just love these bars so much. I've told you so many times that I have never found a bar that I love every flavor. So when buying a variety pack, nothing ever goes uneaten. And that is a win for me.
Absolutely. I can't tell you how annoying it is to buy variety packs of something and you're like, oh, I only want one flavor. I don't have that problem with IQ Bar either. And I've recommended it to a couple of friends, especially my mom friends who frequently forget to eat during the day, especially when they're like picking up kids, dropping off kids, going to sports, stuff like that. And I haven't heard one complaint and everyone's actually thankful that I told them about it because it's just so hard to find like a good, easy, quick bar that's actually healthy for you. So as soon as I told them that it's, you know, optimized for brain and body, it's got the brain nutrients, plant protein, and fiber with next to no sugar or net carbs. It's just like really clean label and delicious. Like everyone's so on board to try and it's phenomenal.
And it also fits every diet. So keto, paleo, vegan, gluten-free, all of them. And anything that is great for your brain is good for me. IQ Bar comes in 7 mouthwatering flavors. You're not going to believe how good they taste, especially considering they have next to no sugar or net carbs. IQ Bar is the number one brain and body protein bar in the US with over 10,000 five-star reviews and hundreds of thousands of happy customers. You can create that feeling of finally discovering a truly nutritious bar that actually tastes good. Now you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus get free shipping. To get your 20% off, just text T to 64000. Get your discount, text T to 64000. That's T to 64000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details. I forgot to tell y'all the Mother's Day card that Jackson handwrote me. First of all, it means so much more to me than a Mother's Day card that you would get off of the aisle of the grocery store. I don't know. Like, I love little handwritten, hand-drawn things. It's just so precious. But when I opened it up, he wrote, "I hope you love this gift card as much as I love you."
Aww.
And I was like, if that's just like not the most precious thing ever. But outside of that, I started watching the new season of Selling Sunset. And I want to know the interest of the people who are listening. If you guys have followed that show, if you're currently watching the new season, have you started watching the new season?
I am not a Selling Sunset fan. Like not that I'm not a fan of the show. I just have never watched it. I've heard a lot about it, read a lot about it. I just don't really have time to watch TV, but I am curious to see if the listeners are as into it as you are, because maybe you could have a little guest or two.
I know. I actually love the show. You know that I don't watch a ton of TV. I just had some spare time. I was home alone all weekend. And so I was like, I need to catch up on some stuff. So obviously Selling Sunset was on there. And I think I originally had interest in the show because one, it was a reality show, but two, my family's background in real estate. So I was like, let me, you know, check this out. I can't really give any opinions on the season yet because I'm only like 1.5 episodes in. And that made me think when I got up to do what I'm about to tell you guys next, what type of TV watcher are you? Because I love to be in my bedroom with it pitch black watching a show, but I have to have a snack.
Oh, okay.
Like I am a definite snacker when I'm watching TV. Like I ate a whole bag of Goldfish.
Oh, wow.
Yes, ma'am.
So if I'm watching TV in bed, I'm either sick and like I only really watch shows I've already seen in bed because I know I'm going to fall asleep because I always have the lights out and stuff and I'm just comfortable. So like I know chances are I'm going to fall asleep. So I just watch reruns of something, whether it's like Criminal Minds or like stuff on ID Channel or like Law and Order SVU. My latest thing, I didn't watch every episode yet, but I'm on Blue Bloods finishing out those seasons to catch up to the new one because I love that show. But if I'm going to like watch something to actually watch it, I'm in one of my two living rooms for sure.
Okay. I'm just not a super couch TV watcher. I like to be so relaxed in the bed, but I watch it from my laptop because, you know, I have that rule that like I don't want TVs in bedrooms.
Right.
So I'm just like sitting there with my laptop, watching Selling Sunset, eating a whole bag of Goldfish. You know, then I got to go to the grocery store. I've got to go into my refrigerator, and I got out a Hint Water and Prime because I obviously needed both.
Well, duh. I feel like you're a like you usually have more than one drink by you, I think.
I feel like always. Is everybody not like that?
Apparently not. There's some people who have like four different drink options. Like I'm doing it right now. I have a cup of ice water and then a can of Coke.
Yeah, I feel like that's normal.
Yeah, some people are just like one drink. And I'm like, how? What if your palate wants something different?
Okay, but you know something else that I've started to do in the morning when I get ready for Pilates?
What?
And we know that like Alani is like my first drink of the day. I've started doing the liquid IV because I'm like, I need the hydration and I don't need to be dehydrated. I'm not trying to live that dehydrated life.
I feel like that's smart though, because it's like gets you going on like a good note.
Yes. And I just feel so good about it. But then I was scrolling through social media today from all the shit that I missed. And I saw all these like paparazzi photos of Blake Lively from that movie, that Colleen Hoover movie that she's filming.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. I forget what the title of it is from which
book. It Ends With Us.
Okay.
And I can't wait to watch the movie because one, I'm a super Blake Lively fan, but two, we know that I've bamboozled book club before and I just do not like to read. I wish so bad that I could create the habit of reading because I think it's so healthy for your mind, but my devotional is like about all that's happening in the day and I can't wait to freaking watch the movie.
See, I feel like that's your devotional still reading. So I like, don't hate on yourself for that one. I also used to be a huge, huge, huge reader to the point where some of the Harry Potter books, like the bigger ones, I read in 2 or 3 days. Like once I was reading, I was invested. Don't talk to me. I'm like in my own little world. But as I got older and like you just have less and less time, I want to get back to that place. But there's just like all these other things I have to get done all the time. But I was talking to Corey over the weekend because he bought me a bunch of books for Christmas. And he was like, listen, like, you need to figure out how to carve out an hour of your day. Like if you have an hour to like scroll on your phone at night before you fall asleep, you have an hour to read.
I'm catching up on all my friends' lives.
Right.
So I feel like that's more important than me reading some novel that I'm probably not going to finish, honestly.
He was like, you don't have friends. And I was like, all right, fine. Valid point.
So that, and then my next watch this week is going to be that Dateline special on Brian Koberger. I know that you said that you watched it, and I have plans to cover that with you next week on this podcast. Normally we cover stuff like that on Coffee Convos, but we have other creative going on over there. And so I want to cover the Dateline special because I am so invested in that case and I can't wait to watch it. I know you said it was better than the ID special and I've heard so many good things about it.
All I'm going to tell you is definitely watch it stat because you're going to see, especially with him having to enter his plea today, which I don't know if that already happened or not. I haven't been looking.
It did. You want me to tell you what happened?
Yes, please do.
He remained silent, which I guess that means he's entering a non-guilty plea.
Are you like fucking kidding me?
Yeah. So he remained silent. And I think the trial is set for like early October, which is earlier than what everyone expected that it was going to be. Could be pushed back, but set for early October. And they're expecting it to be 4 to 6 weeks. And I just want to say, as far as a trial is concerned, that's about the amount of time that my parents' trial went on and there was no one murdered. So like, how do you have that many victims and it's only going to take that amount of time?
And I mean, maybe they have just like such hard evidence and the defense doesn't really have defense.
Yeah.
So like guesstimate, I would think. I'm sure obviously that could vary if I had to guess, but that pisses me off. Number one, the fact that you think that you get to not say anything, like I can't. Number two, do we know what the ruling on the gag order was?
There has not been one. I think that the judge is going to order on that soon, but there was no order on the gag.
Because I know that was like happening today too. So I'm like anxiously awaiting.
I'm very anxiously awaiting as well, but it's with cases that are so publicly followed, I am indifferent on that because I think that when everybody knows about it and there is so many people talking about it and the media is covering it, that things can be convoluted. And so I do think that it should be, certain things should remain out of the media for the protection of the actual judicial process. And then once that's done, I think that it's fine for whoever to want to talk. But, and I know we're all interested, you know, and we all want to know, and I feel like we all are so invested, but there is a part that I do think that needs to remain just under seal.
I would agree, but I'm also at this point with the way that it blew up across social media, especially TikTok, and how in-depth people are getting and, you know, putting information out that's definitely not true and some of it's true and all that stuff. I genuinely don't know how they're going to pick an unbiased jury.
But I think the more information that comes out, and that might be what they tried to limit, the more information comes out, the more conspiracy theories that follow, right? So it would be nice to see some of that limited and just allow the prosecution to do their job.
Agreed. I mean, I do agree with that. And I will say, definitely make sure you watch the documentary before you're on social media too much, because I think people are going to start talking about that more with the one that just came out on the Dateline special, because they clear up a lot of things in there that came out and were spread as truth that were not true at all. Some things that I was like shocked at. And then there's like an underlying tone that I hear in the whole thing that I'm going to be very curious to see if you picked up on it too.
Well, just know you guys tune in next week, because we're going to be covering that entire Dateline special and all the updates on Koberger.
And I'm not talking to you about it beforehand. So
no, we are not. We're going to save it for on the air. Also wanted to just cover, I saw a message that our post that was posted in the Southern Tea Facebook page. And it was like, I don't believe that Lindsay has never seen these questions. I literally didn't.
Yeah.
From last week's episode.
Mm-hmm. So I immediately commented, like, of course, I'm going to approve that post. Like, people are entitled to their opinions. So I immediately commented and said, I'm the one who did the questions. Like, I can attest that she didn't see them beforehand because I did them. And then I saw someone say, well, like, what's it to you if she did or didn't? And the person was like, oh, well, for someone who claims that they're so authentic and transparent, it does matter. And I responded back and I said, you know, I'm not really sure what you're trying to get at here. Like, did you have a question that just wasn't asked? Like, maybe I skipped it, because you do get asked a lot of the same questions, whether they're phrased a little different, whatever. And like, those episodes that you do questions on are supposed to be for unique situations. Like, no one wants to hear you say the same thing 55 times. No offense to you, but like, they just don't. So when I pick questions, I do pick some that I think might be not uncomfortable for you to answer, but that you haven't gotten before. So I was a little frustrated with that, to be honest, because I'm like, don't question our process here. It's, you know, if we're saying like, this is the questions that you're getting, it's not you picking them.
Literally, just to give you guys a behind the scene insight on that, when I do episodes like that, any questions that you guys are writing in, I always have Kristen go and select those questions, and they are all put in a document. And either whoever the interviewer is, last time it was Iris, if it was Kristen, I wouldn't be seeing those questions beforehand, because I do want it to be authentic, and I don't want to have a predetermined answer before I do answer them.
Yeah, for sure. And like, some of them, of course, you know, people make good points and they're like, she's probably been asked similar questions before, so she probably already has an answer, you know, somewhere in the back of her mind. And I think to some of them, true.
But also when you're not lying, you don't have to come up with something.
Yeah. So it's just like, you know, we're very authentic in that process. And obviously, if someone's a little annoyed that their question wasn't selected, I either just didn't like your question or felt like it had been answered previously, I just ask it again next time I post and maybe it'll get picked.
Kristen, guess what? I feel like the best mom ever.
Let me guess. You did something that Jackson wanted you to do.
I'm always doing something that Jackson wanted me to do, but I really did something that he wanted me to do. I restocked my fridge with all of his favorite flavor hemp waters, and I also ordered extra in preparation for my trip.
That's going to be perfect, because there's no, you can't be more hydrated at the beach. You cannot be overhydrated. It's such a better option than like soda and all that stuff. I know you have, are, you're going on 8-9 weeks soda free. I, on the other hand, am just loving Hint Water. My favorite flavor is the cherry. Corey's drinking it a lot now, especially with the weather getting warmer. He's taking it to work with him. It's just makes drinking water not boring.
Most of us know that we should be drinking more water and fewer sweetened beverages, but plain water is just so boring. Like, I'm really not good at it, but that's where Hint comes in. Hint infuses pure water with fruit essences to create surprisingly accurate fruit flavors without any sugar, diet sweeteners, or calories. And Hint is on a mission to help people drink more water by making it taste great. And it's so good that people start thinking of water as a treat rather than an obligation. And my child lets everybody that he knows know about it. More than 25 flavors, classics like watermelon, blackberry, and pineapple, as well as delicious mashups like blueberry lemon, peach raspberry, plush cherry, apple crisp, coconut, and many more. Hint is available at retail and club stores across the U.S., or you can have it delivered directly to you when you order at hintwater.com. Hint water is an obsession that is actually good for you. You can find Hint water at retail stores like Walmart, Target, and Kroger, or have it delivered direct to your door from hintwater.com. New customers can get Hint for just $1 a bottle with free shipping when they order 3 cases. That's 36 bottles for $36 and free shipping. Just use the code SOUTHERNTEA at checkout. Outside of that, would you like to tell everybody about your bamboozle?
Which one?
Well, I'm going to start reading the text thread that I received.
Okay.
Guaranteed my phone was in focus whenever I received this.
Yeah.
It says, what's Will's birthday? Then another text comes through on the phone with your bank. I text back like 20 minutes later. So obviously I've missed the whole importance of the text period. And I, you know, send his birthday. And you said, thank God for Google. I quick stopped. I said, bye. You said he wasn't easy to find. And then you said, I appreciate how secure your bank is, but the fact that I've called them days apart with two different voices has me dying because I sound like I went on a bender. Would you like to tell everyone what you did?
Yeah. So I called your bank pretending to be you with all of the information needed to verify that I was, in fact, playing you. We have nowhere near similar voices. However, on a good day, my voice sounds like this. The day that I called, it didn't. I was hoarse. I was exhausted. Like, you could just hear it in my voice. And I had already called your bank on, wasn't it Mother's Day or the day before Mother's Day?
It was on the weekend.
Yeah, it was like the day before Mother's Day that I ended up having to call your bank about something because they thought something was being frauded and whatever. So that's just not something that you typically deal with. So you're like, hey, can you please call? So I call them. I talk to someone. No problems. They never hit you up about like, oh, we think somebody else called in. Nothing like that. I call a couple days later because the situation was in fact not rectified and completely different voice. I'm giving them all the information. And then I think the girl suspected something because she was like, oh, I also have to ask you like some additional questions to make sure that like we really verify the account. This is after we had already been speaking for 20 minutes. So I was like, oh, she's sus. Like, all right, cool. Like, what's she going to whip out? Because I have my whole cheat sheet of answers right in front of me. Except I was a little concerned at that point because I had already given her all the info on that cheat sheet. So I'm like, shit, like I am very unprepared. She hits me with, who's the other person on this account? And I'm over here like, that's a good question. Because I knew who it was. And then I knew that if she did ask me that, she was going to ask me their birthday. And I didn't know. So I was like, oh, shit. So I'm stalling, right? So I send you that text because I knew they were going to ask me. So I'm like, Lindsay, what's the birthday? So I'm stalling and I'm like, I don't think it's my son.
Goodbye.
I'm trying to think. And then I was like, shit, she's not typing. So it's like, oh, I know who it is. It's my ex-husband. So I give his name and they're like, yes. And they're like, and what's that person's birthday? And I'm like, son of a bitch. So I'm now frantically Googling because you're not responding. And I was like, oh, my ex-husband, like, I have to think about that one. Like, oh, he's my ex. Like, I was annihilating Will to this bank. Okay. So I'm like, and they're just sitting there on the phone with me. And mind in these you, situations.
I'm going to stop you because, mind you, this is a small community bank. Like, we know every person that is a representative at that branch. And now they think that we have a terrible divorce based off of what you just did.
So I'm literally sitting there and I'm like, oh God, he's like my ex for a reason. I can't remember any of his stuff. Like, shit. So I go and I Google, thankfully was able to pull it up 6 sites later. And this woman is just like menacingly quiet. And I'm like, shit. And like in these situations, typically I just hang up and I pretend like I had a connectivity issue until I can get the answer and call back. And I'm like, oh, I just got disconnected. Like, I don't know what happened, but I have the information. So I felt very alone at that point. And I was just like, oh, yep, got it. Now I remembered. It was in my calendar. Like, here you go. So they like continue to talk to me. Because obviously I gave them the correct information. So we get the situation semi-situated because the ultimate solution was you had to go into the bank.
No, that was their nice way of being like, you are full of shit.
Right?
You are not who you say you are. So we need her front facing in this branch.
So you went into the bank and you fix the problem. And then do you want to tell everybody what happened after that?
So I'm just on the phone with Kristen, shooting the breeze, taking a pee, trying to do some shit in my bathroom. And I'm like, oh, hey, I gotta go. Somebody's calling. Hi, is this Miss Chrisley speaking? This is fraud protection from blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yes. I said, there's no fraud. And she's like, well, we had 2 different phone calls on this date and this date. And we detected that it possibly wasn't you. So we just want to make sure that there's like actual no fraud. So then I continue your lie. Like, I am riding your lie. And I'm like, oh yeah, that was me. Immediately when I hung up, I was like, fuck, you know what? They know it wasn't me because they have recordings of mm-hmm. your voice mm-hmm. on 2 different occasions that sound like 2 different human beings. Mm-hmm. And then the recording of my voice. And she was like, are you sure it was you? And I'm like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Will's probably like wiped my entire account clean.
I was waiting for them to call Will and be like, we suspect that there's some heist shit going down. And I was like, no, I was literally trying to get you to unlock a card. Like, that's it.
That's it. And in fact, it's not even a card that I use.
Right. So the whole thing was a shit show. There's probably a much easier way to deal with it, like maybe giving them some type of permission to speak to me. We just don't go that way. So it's like we just go the hard way. And I just play Miss Lindsay Chrisley on some days. Other days Kristen, I play Miss Kaylin Lowry.
Kaylin Lowry. We love that. Speaking of another bamboozle, I'm sitting getting my nails done. And I don't know what it is, but my middle fingers must either be like in overdrive, flicking people off, or I just use them a lot for other things because the amount of chips that happen on those nails, insane. So I'm like, I need to go and get this nail polish off. And honestly, I'm going to blame Todd Chrisley, Julie Chrisley, and Faye Chrisley for this because I am like so self-conscious about having chipped nails because growing up, if you had chipped polish, like you were immediately expected to get it off. Oh. Like you just take all the polish off. Like you don't walk around with chipped nails. So I'm like, I definitely need to make this appointment for this week. This is not okay. I need to get it together because I don't look put together. So I'm just sitting there and I see an 800 number come up and I'm like, oh, because I'm registered in my county for like calls for storms coming through and stuff.
Okay.
So I'm like, maybe this is going to be like a storm alert. And honestly, I need to know that. So yeah. I answer and it says, this is the United States Census Bureau or something.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, oh, yep, I'm going to jail today. Like, this is the time.
They are out to get you.
So I'm sitting there and I continue listening and I'm like, oh God, like this is one of those calls where it's like the automated thing and then a representative gets on the phone. And I'm like, mm-mm. I don't have the answers to any of the census questions. So honestly, you guys are going to have to come in an Impala to my house and hope that I answer the door because this is not happening today. So it was like, we noticed that you have not responded to the follow-up final notice for the census. I just immediately hang up. I'm like, what? The less I know, the better.
You pulled a me.
I did. I did. I was so scared. And then I start typing in group chat with Kale and Kristen. And I'm like, y'all, like, this is it. Like, if I don't answer my phone, like, this is it. Like, census has come and got me. I'm fucked.
Yeah, I definitely, I asked you who your bunk mate's going to be.
And I answered, and I'm not telling everybody.
I want everyone to guess.
Guess who my bunk mate would be if I go to prison for the census.
It's going to be Kale. I'm kidding.
She probably didn't fill out her census either, honestly.
Definitely not. I promise you, it didn't happen. If she got one, she didn't answer it.
Okay, let's do TikTok o'clock.
Okay, I'm so ready because you had some goodies today.
I know, and we have to play them because I feel like it just doesn't hit the same if someone hears me saying it than the individuals that are saying it on the TikTok.
Okay.
Y'all don't hear what I'm saying to you. You think you're the only one that had any pain because you went in the pit. But the one who threw you in the pit has to live with the guilt that you never did a thing to hurt them. And God is too just to let them get away without suffering. You have to understand that God is a just God. He's an equalizer. He will make sure. The Bible said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. You mess up when you try to get even. If you just step back and let God get even, God can get even better than you can.
Okay. How good is that?
Okay, so I don't know about the God part, like what's in the Bible as far as that goes. I liked his perspective and the message that he brought. I didn't necessarily agree with it, and I'll tell you why. I think that on some occasions, does the other party who hurt you have to sit in that? Sure. Do I think on other occasions that someone hurts you and they don't give two shits about it, so they're not feeling guilt? Also, yes.
Yeah, but I think that that's an element of narcissism.
Yeah, I just think that it's actually really frequent. Like, I have people in my life that continuously do shit, and do I think it actually bothers them and eats them alive? Absolutely not.
Okay, but I do think that if you allow the vengeance to come from God and not you, over time, things will take care of itself, whereas you don't have to, and their actions will eventually catch up with them. It might not be immediate.
Okay. I looked at that like karma. Like the way that he described it, I looked at that like my view on karma. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And I used to be so filled with, oh, I'm going to get you back tenfold. And I was damn good at it and I never missed. But it just took so much energy out of me that I, you know, as I got older, I was like, I don't really care at this point. So I just stay silent and I let karma do what she's going to do.
Well, she always serves and never misses. One of my favorite sayings used to be, back before I was reformed, karma's a bitch and so am I.
Well, yes.
I think I used to be way worse years ago, and I'm talking like 5-6 years ago. It's been a process, and I do think it's happened through therapy that I have to focus more on my actions and what I do and my character and moral compass versus what somebody has done to me. What they've done to me is not my business.
And that I agree. And I think that that's like a really hard lesson to learn. I also think that can you like share more of your perspective as like someone who's faith-based on, do you feel like he's accurate when he says like, you know, God says vengeance is his?
I do think that when you give it to the Lord, then you can let it go in your own life and you don't have to worry about it. And I think that when I became closer in my walk with Christ, I was able to pray about it and I don't need to fight back. Like, what am I fighting back for? What somebody did to me is their problem and probably a projection of what they're going through and has little, if nothing, to do with me. And so I'm not going to carry that burden, and that's not my cross to carry. I'm going to give it to God. He can take care of it. And whatever, you know, the punishment or I don't know if punishment is the right word, but whatever, I guess the karma is that comes from it, then that's for them to also deal with, not me.
See, and that's where I got tripped up with that, because like, again, it was like a whole new eye-opening perspective for me. So I was thinking about it and I'm like, well, from what I learned, like during confirmation and stuff, coming from the Methodist church, God's all about forgiveness. So as this person's sitting there talking about, you know, God, like vengeance is his, I was like, wow, I never, that's not what I was taught. I was taught it's all about forgiveness and turn the other cheek and yada, yada, yada.
Okay. But then I saw this quote this morning when I was doing my Bible study. I saw this quote and it kind of goes hand in hand with this. It says, we can become trapped in a circle of comparing ourselves and lives as though we have the right to judge and the responsibility or the power to change others. As we experience the Lord's loving compassion and forgiveness personally, we'll forever be changed and empowered to expect and extend mercy, not condemnation, to others. It's not my job to fight back with somebody, even as hard as it is to not do it sometimes and like have your moment and your, to get your word out there, because I've been guilty of it. You know, somebody says something about me, I want to, you know, clear the air or, you know, fight back and give my side. But at the end of the day, I don't feel like I need to do that anymore. I'm just going to pray for them. I'm going to extend mercy, and that's just going to be what it's going to be.
I just kind of tell everyone to have the day they deserve.
Yeah, you love to say that.
That's my favorite thing in the world. Like, just because I don't know what day you deserve, but have that.
Have that, whatever one that is.
Like, whatever, that's not on me to pick.
God.
Support for today's episode comes from Honeylove. Lindsay, you know how much I have been talking about my journey with shapewear lately, especially since finding Honeylove, because it's literally the only shapewear I will wear at this point. I told you how I had that event. I wore my Honeylove shapewear and I just felt so good, so secure, got tons of compliments on my dress, how I look, things like that. And it's always nice to hear that you like look good.
I absolutely love that. You wore that at the Webbies, right?
Yeah, when I went to the Webbies, I wore it. It was so comfortable. I didn't have to worry about the ungodly rolling that occurs with other brands of shapewear I've tried. I know that that's such a struggle. I didn't feel like I wanted to throw up from the compression. I just felt like nice, safe, secure, smooth, all the things that you look for when you are wearing shapewear.
They also have the bodysuits with the 360-degree bonded compression that smooths your tummy, hips, built-in bust support that lifts without the underwire. Anything without underwire is a go for me. The shapewear is comfortable, and taking shapewear off in a bathroom, if you have ever worn it, is just not fun, but you don't have to worry about that with Honeylove.
Yeah, it's actually great because it has that opening in the panty area for super easy bathroom breaks and no costume change required. I can assure you none of us want to be sitting in a stall half naked, just trying to take a quick break to go. So that is just like genius.
They also have incredibly comfortable bras, tanks, and leggings for everyday support. So it's more than just sculptwear. Honeylove is as easy to put on as it is to take off. Shapewear should not be hard. Their products make you look good and feel good, whether it's for a wedding, an event, everyday boost of confidence. Honeylove is the perfect plus one. Treat yourself to the best shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com with the code SOUTHERNTEA. Use code SOUTHERNTEA at honeylove.com. Okay, next TikTok. I really loved this one too.
You can take the same woman, put her with a man A, she's going to be a certain kind of woman. And you put her with man B, and she's going to be proper housewife. And what you're missing is that it is the same girl, different result based on the man.
I've had that so many times, exactly like Justin said. I've had it where I've been the man that she's changed into a good girl with, and I've been the man where with me, she wanted to party and go to the clubs and do things. And then she meets the next guy, and he's like, yeah, she's with me. She's completely different. And I've seen them together. I'm like, yeah, she just falls into place with him. And with me, the tests that I do, I wouldn't really call it a test.
I wholeheartedly agree with that.
I also agree. I don't necessarily like the people that are speaking it. Those podcasts like that, like, do they give you like weird vibes?
Yeah, always.
Like, it's like literal king of the D-bags. Like, you took every frat bro and like gave him a podcast. So I can't. But I do agree with that. And my position on it and why I agree is like, I very much believe in like certain relationships and situations will bring out feminine energy. And then other ones might bring out the more masculine energy, depending on so many factors in the relationship. Like, what position do you hold in that relationship? Are you able to let go, or are you the one that has to be in control? And like all those energies playing together, I definitely can see how, you know, certain things would make you kind of act one way, and then other things would make you feel comfortable enough to act in a different way.
So for me, being in the relationships that I've been in, I feel like when I am in a safe energy, I can exert very feminine energy. But when I feel unsafe and like I'm having to do my expectation of a man in a relationship, then you're going to get a very different version of me.
Oh, I would agree. And I feel like in my own marriage, like when I was after when you had sent that to me and I looked at it this morning, I kind of took a step back and was like evaluating my marriage. And there's definitely aspects in it. The safety all around, I feel safe. There's definitely things that I would say that I take the more masculine role and quote unquote, like wear the pants, as people would say, with certain things. And then there's other things that I know that like Corey's got it and I'm able to just be more feminine and like let him take control. And it's kind of like, you know, doing the dance that you do in relationships. But I like the balance because I've definitely been in relationships where I was like always unsafe, always like trying to gain some type of control, and it just wasn't healthy. Like, that's not where I wanted to be. I didn't feel comfortable in those relationships the way I do in my marriage.
I think that when you feel, and this might be different for everyone, but when I feel safe in someone's energy, I don't feel like I have to overcompensate. And I'm at a place in my life at the age that I am now and the journey that I've walked through therapy and lived life experience that I don't want to be in a relationship where I have to exert masculine energy. It's a lot of work.
Well, right, because it's like outside of your comfort zone, right? Your comfort zone is for you is sitting in your like femininity, mm-hmm. where you have to get out of your comfort zone and act accordingly when you're in a threatening situation, whether it's, you know, your body interprets different things as threats and stress all the time. So I think that that's a very valid point.
When I was cheated on, mm-hmm. I started exerting very masculine energy. Because I felt like I was on the defense and mm-hmm. you're not going to get the same me that I was before.
You were probably like a dog pissing everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Basically. Mm-hmm. Like showing this is mine, marking your territory, like all things that like put you out of your comfort zone. And then it's like my favorite is when you have a situation like that and the other party in the relationship's like, well, you changed. Well, no shit.
Well, no shit because the situation changed me.
Correct. Like you made me act accordingly. So I did.
And
it's
I
like
think
survival.
From my marriage to now, because I know things that didn't work in my marriage and energy that was exerted from both parties in that marriage, what didn't work, going into something new and being in a different relationship, I feel like because I know those things from a lived experience, I now know what I do want and don't want and what worked and what didn't work.
Do you feel like in your marriage you had a lot more masculine energy than you did feminine?
I do. And I think that that stems from a lot of different places. I think that it basically started, we were so young and I feel like my parents had expectations of me that were very different than Will's parents had of him. And I grew up so fast. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I feel like I took on a very mothering role. Not that Will didn't have a mother and one that was capable of doing the mothering things. I just feel like in that relationship makeup that I felt like I had lived a lot of life differently than the way that he had.
I would agree.
So it started there. And then once we had a child, he had never, ever held a child before his own. And I'd been around babies my whole life and have four younger siblings. So I also think that I took on a more masculine role, which should have been such a feminine role, but I didn't feel safe to be in a feminine energy.
So I can totally see that. And like, can we take a second to talk about how you said like you took on the mothering role when you guys got together, because I think there is something to be said, and this is, I am not dissing moms by any means, because I also know that things are a choice, like not blaming parents at all. But I think when you get into a relationship so young, when you're still, when like each person's still finding themselves, I 1000% agree that most of the time men take longer to mature than women. Do I think there's outliers? Absolutely. Just like for women, same thing. I can say from my experience, Corey had never lived by himself.
Mm-hmm.
I had lived by myself because I went away to college. He never did. And I went very far away. So I was 12 hours from my family. So I learned, you know, how to do that. I also lost my dad suddenly when I was 18 and went through a lot of things with my mom. So I was like, I don't want to say finishing raising myself, but a lot of things that I was so used to going to my dad about, I very much like put my dick on the table and had to figure out how to do it. And I took on a very masculine energy from that experience. So like when Corey and I first moved in together, there was a lot of mothering situations that were going on. And at first it's like, oh my God, this is so fun. I just want to take care of you, blah, blah, blah. But then it gets old after a while. And for me, it got old.
You get tired.
Yeah, you get so tired because then you think about the prospect of actually having kids and you're like, well, I already did that. Like I'm doing that actively now. So I think that that's not spoken about, but I think it's so normal that when you get into a relationship with someone who's younger and like never lived by themselves, never had to take care of anything, like that does make it a little bit tougher because I think that everybody always looks to the woman to figure stuff out.
Well, and I don't want to get caught up in, because I catch myself oftentimes referring back to my marriage as all of these things failed in my marriage. So I'm going to not do any of those things that failed in my marriage in a next relationship. I want to be very careful of that and have become more cognizant of that through therapy, that my last relationship is not a new one. And what somebody else is bringing to the table to a new one, I don't need to compare a new partner to my ex-husband. I think that there are obviously like deal breakers and boundaries and stuff that can be applicable to all relationships, but you don't need to get into the comparison game.
I feel that I agree because I think it's natural to evaluate a situation and be like, oh, I am never doing this, 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 and this, because that's what got us to the point we were at. But when you're with an entirely new person and things are appreciated differently, things are reacted to differently, you know, you're learning a whole new dance with a whole new person. Like I'm a big proponent of like, you can't do the comparison. It just doesn't work.
And the divorcees on this podcast who are listening, I feel like when you have been in a failed marriage, when you go into something new, whether that be a relationship or a second marriage, how you show up there is very differently. I talked about that, about my own parents, and I never remember my parents being together. But what I know about my parents' marriage from both parties was it was so toxic. And the way that they showed up was very different to that marriage because they weren't prepared to be and what they committed to be in. Mm-hmm. And then the next marriage was totally different, completely different experience. The way that my dad handled Julie as a woman was very, very different. And so just because you have one failed marriage doesn't mean that you're going to have a second one. You might, but doesn't mean that.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense to me. I also think like, I don't know if you experience this, but just from, you know, life and living a lot of lives in one life and trauma, there are definitely times where my immediate defense, I like that masculine energy is just below the surface in certain situations, and it will rear its head. And then I play the game of like, well, my dick's bigger, so don't talk to me.
Mm-hmm. But that's a defense mechanism.
Absolutely. And I think that like, it's definitely been less because through therapy and stuff like that, and just like being in what I would say is like the right relationship for me. But I see so many people that feel like they failed if a situation like that arises, and they kind of act like out of character. And it's like, no, because that's like, it's going to happen sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the last TikTok that I want to share is Taylor Swift. And for all of my Swifties out there, I am a fellow Swiftie. And I absolutely loved this and also agree with this entire message.
I was a 10 out of 10 fan. I listened to this whole, I listened to her entire, I don't want to say speech because I know there's an actual word for it, but.
What was it?
It was, she was presenting, like she was doing the, what the hell is it called? When someone comes and speaks at your graduation, that's what this came from. She was speaking at someone's graduation.
Oh, wow. Okay.
She was like their speaker. That's why she's in like the cap and gown.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes total sense.
Part of growing up and moving into new chapters of your life is about catch and release. What I mean by that is knowing what things to keep and what things to release. You can't carry all things. Decide what is yours to hold and let the rest go. Oftentimes, the good things in your life are lighter anyway, so there's more room for them.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that. And I think it's such a good message because oftentimes I do think that, and I had this conversation with my dad many, many months ago. A lot of times you hold on to your traumas and the bad things that have happened because you don't know how to become a different person when you don't have them and you're not holding on to them.
Oh, I mean, yeah, you see so many people who hold on to it like a crutch. Like that's, mm-hmm. it becomes part of their identity.
Mm-hmm.
So I would agree with that.
I just absolutely love that. And life is about catch and release. Like there's certain things that even last year that I might've been holding on to that I finally got to a point of real, it was like an epiphany. One day I woke up and I was like, none of those things actually matter anymore in my life because that doesn't affect my daily life. If I'm allowing it to affect my daily life, it affects my daily life. But should it? It shouldn't.
So I don't know about you, but this kind of goes hand in hand with like forgiveness for me. Where I always thought forgiveness was like a conscious decision and I would get so pissed off because I'm like, I'm sitting here telling myself that I forgive you, but right underneath that, I'm cussing you under my breath, right? So it's like, no, I'm just lying to myself. But then, you know, 6 months from something, I just realized I never thought about it ever again, never thought about the person anymore. So for me, things like that are super, it's like an unconscious decision to let things go, to forgive, to you just all of a sudden stop thinking about it. And I don't know if anyone else is like that, but like, don't feel bad if you can't consciously make the decision to not think about something anymore or not let something bother you anymore, because more times than not, I would say it's time that's taking care of things like that for me.
I think time does heal a lot of things and perspective changes over a period of time when you've walked that healing journey and the journey of forgiveness. For me, though, I have to forgive for myself. And that's a hard lesson that I had to learn, that I can't hold on to negative things or something that someone's done to me that I feel is so wrong. I have to let go of that and know that God's going to take care of it. I don't have to. And I'm going to forgive so that I can move on peacefully with my life. And I might be putting you in a box somewhere, but I'm not going to hold on to it anymore because it's no longer healthy for me.
Yeah. For me, it's like, okay, you just went into a filing cabinet of people I don't fuck with, but I'm indifferent towards you. Like that's my version of forgiveness.
Right. I feel like there's just no place for hate. I don't hate anybody.
Yeah. It's like when you make my blood pressure rise, I don't want to deal with it.
When you make my blood pressure rise, you're immediately blocked. You're immediately not having access to me.
Right. I mean, and that's healthy. To me, the only things I want to raise my blood pressure would be sex and caffeine. So we're good. So, Lindsay, my brother-in-law just got his first job. And of course, he came to me because I'm probably the best in the family about money and budgeting and all those things. And I told him how important it was to start your good money habits with your first paycheck, and especially with him getting the first job, he's making real money now. He really needs to take the opportunity to just like jumpstart a healthy financial journey to be set up for success. So of course I shared time with him.
Did you know that when you sign up for Chime and link a qualifying direct deposit, you get access to benefits like getting paid up to 2 days early and fee-free overdraft up to $200? Did you share that fact with him?
Yeah, that's exactly why he signed up, because he heard the get paid up to 2 days early and was like, okay, sign me up, because he's 19, doesn't want to wait for money and all those fun things. But I was also trying to tell him about the fact that there's no monthly fees, no minimum balance, no deposit required to become a member, and all those were technicalities to him, but things that matter to people like you and me and our of age friends. But I am just a huge fan of Chime. You know this. I tell it to everybody. I recommend it to everybody. And I couldn't be happier. I love Chime.
We're out here recommending Chime to everyone. So if you have not signed up, you can sign up for a Chime checking account today to link your paycheck. It only takes 2 minutes, does not affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/southerntea. That's chime.com/southerntea. Chime is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. Early access to direct deposit funds depends on payer. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. See chime.com/spotme.
I'm John Glover.
Emmy award-winning researcher John Glover, and I'm Marissa Pinson.
Critically unacclaimed TV writer Marissa Pinson.
Aw. And we're the hosts of the new podcast, On Brand with John and Marissa.
Join us every week for an exploration of the world's most interesting and iconic brands, like Walmart.
Do they still have the old people who say welcome to Walmart?
No, they got rid of them. So you just want more old people in the store?
I want every staff member to be over 90. And Heinz.
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 Heinz. I say Heinz. Like I'm a German dictator.
And while you learn about these legendary brands, you'll also learn a bit about us. Hey, John, do you still sleep in shoes?
There's probably, I would say probably 3 times a year I fall asleep in shoes.
You told me the thing that you should never look under a Costco chicken.
Well, I don't think you should ever look under a chicken.
So tune in every Wednesday for a brand new episode of On Brand with John and Marissa.
Available May 24th wherever you get your podcasts. See you there.
On to a couple of the listener topics. What do we have?
Okay. So everyone's asking what your Memorial Day plans are. That's number one, because it's coming up. It's right around the corner.
It is right around the corner. Unlike me, but has become more like me, is last minute plans. Kristen's a really good vacation booker. She should probably do it as like a side job if she had time to do a side job. Decided to just make last minute plans to go to the beach. And I always get caught up on how long is it going to take you to get there? And then, you know, you've got to drive it back. But Will was kind of going through the same thing this last weekend about going to a family wedding. And he was like, you know, it's such a short amount of time for such a long drive. And I said, but it's at the beach and you're going to be able to relax whenever you get there. It's going to be memories that you're going to have with Jackson that you wouldn't have if you hadn't gone. And you just need to suck up the driving and go. So then I was like, you know what? If I'm giving that advice to somebody, I need to take that advice for myself. So booked a resort at the beach and headed there for 3 days, which will be a nice disconnect and just be able to have some drinks and food by the pool and not worry about anything.
That's really exciting. I currently don't even know if my husband's off. So I'm planning on purging my house of all the crap that I don't need, cleaning, organizing, getting out in my garden, all those things. So chill Memorial Day for me.
Ma'am, last Memorial Day, I don't know if you remember, but Jackson thought that I was passing away. It was when I got that food poisoning from the lettuce.
Yep, from the salad. Yeah.
So I don't know that I'm going to be having any salads over Memorial Day weekend, but I do hope that it's going to be some good fun. And I enjoy just taking Jackson and being by the water. It doesn't matter, lake, beach, just water and seafood sounds great.
Yeah, no, that'll be super exciting. Another question was the listeners want to know if they can get an update on your food issues that you were going through.
So I don't have an update because I have not done the testing yet on this. If I was WebMDing and diagnosing myself, I'm going to say I have some type of intolerance to MSG.
Okay. So have you had the same issue or have you just stayed away from the foods causing it?
Nope. Absolutely. I was trying to do a test on myself and I got Chinese and had the exact same reaction to it. So based off of that test alone, I'm going to say it's some type of intolerance to MSG. A lot of people wrote in and told me that it could be an intolerance to MSG. It could be gallbladder issues, or it could be some type of reaction to peanut oil.
Yeah, all of the above are true.
So when I have more info, I will definitely let you guys know.
Yeah, just stay away from that shit during Memorial Day because you don't want to be in pain.
No.
And then last question is, you know, people saw something that you posted talking about a little trip that you might take to Atlantic City, had some opinions on that. And I thought it was a good time for you to like tell everybody why Atlantic City is important to you.
Okay. What were the opinions, first of all?
People kept saying, don't go to Atlantic City because it's dirty and the crime rate's really high now and it's just run down and all this stuff like that. So they couldn't imagine why you would pick that location.
Do you guys know that I live in Atlanta, and have you ever gone on to ATL Scoop on Instagram? Because it's probably, I would go out on a limb and say it's like a very dangerous city at this point. Outside of that, Atlantic City, my nanny loves to gamble. I think it's really fun to go with her. And Atlantic City is where my grandparents went when my papa was alive, right before I was born. They went to Atlantic City. My parents did not have the money to purchase baby furniture and things for me before I was born. And they weren't even married yet. So that was a whole, you know, other fiasco. So my grandparents went off to Atlantic City, gambled for a weekend, won $3,000. And $3,000 at that time was way more money than what it is now, and brought it home, gifted it to my dad, and they were able to purchase all of my baby furniture.
See, I love that.
So it is, I've never been to Atlantic City. It's somewhere that I've always wanted to go. And with my nanny getting older, it's something that I've wanted to do. So I think it would be very special and nostalgic. So that's why.
Yeah, I think that would be super fun. And obviously if people want to see y'all somewhere else, they should, let us know.
Absolutely. We're not going to do a daily devotion or a weekly devotion today because I saw this on Instagram and it was about culture versus God. And I just wanted to share it. I'll also make sure that I post it so that you guys can have it, to be able to save or whatever. But it's a list of things, and it's, you know, like what culture says and then what God says. The first one is culture: hustle and sleep when you're dead. God says, rest in knowing that with God, all things are possible. So walk at the pace of grace for your calling. Culture says, you can't trust people, they'll hurt you. God says, you can't trust the lie that all people will hurt you. The wrong people will hurt you, but the right people will heal you. Culture says, expose, shame, judge, and cancel. God says, expose, heal, correct, and redeem. Culture says, go where you are celebrated. God says, go where I called you to go. Everything you need is there.
That's a goodie for sure. That hustle and sleep. Mm, feel that.
That ain't for me no more, honey.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I
still hustle my ass off, but.
Ma'am, I'm going with God. I'm gonna rest and know that with God, all things are possible.
He said, I'm going with him.
I am. I'm going with the Lord. I am. Okay, weekly tea.
Okay, I don't know if you're ready for this. This is an insane one that I saw. Okay.
I haven't seen it, so yeah. Go.
So my dad died October of 2012, then his dad died November the same year. Well, in my grandfather's will, it stated if any child should pass before him, that their grandchildren will split the inheritance their parents were to receive. So I have a crazy ass aunt, and I mean so crazy her own kids hide from her and she doesn't even know she has a grandson, has grandchildren. She's so unstable. Anyway, my brother, sister, and I each almost got $9,000 that would have gone to my dad. This psycho lady starts hounding us about giving the money to the real family and how we don't deserve it. Even goes as far as threats and changing numbers and contacting us through aliases. Had her boyfriend call us, all kinds of crazy shit. Backfires on her dumbass, though, because months prior to this, she insisted he wasn't even her father and had a paternity test done. And come to find out, he was not her biological father. So my other aunt, her sister, had her kicked out of the will so that that made her go crazy after us all even harder. It got so bad we had to get protection orders. We're in Texas, she's in Washington State, and she was even having people stalk us.
Okay, I love this topic.
Same.
I don't love this situation, but I love this topic. I think any time that inheritance and money is involved, it is so tricky. I've heard so many different stories. I could tell you guys like tons of different stories of just ones that I know that are in close relation to me. Actually, when I got legally adopted, when Julie legally adopted me, my biological mom's parents wrote me into their will because there was some type of clause that had like about their grandchildren, but technically through the adoption, I could potentially, if somebody contested the will or something, that I could potentially not be their grandchild because of that. So they had to specifically write my name in. And I feel like the best advice on situations like this is the same advice that I would give when I talk about custody and having everything in the parenting plan. You can never be too safe in how you write things and be very clear in the way things that in the way that you want things done. I also believe in having somebody that is outside of the family to be the executor of the will.
I will say from situations that I've been in, especially with like my dad dying, my and my grandparents dying and stuff, and then some other situations very close to me that I just watched go down not that long ago, and people getting called out about getting money on a technicality, it's just like insane. Just make sure your damn wills are updated like all the time.
Speaking of, we've been supposed to be doing that for a while.
Truth.
I need a will because if somebody comes and offs me, like, actually, I don't need a will because my ex-husband's just on all of my stuff. So it's like, whatever at that point.
But I still, you should have a will. But yes.
Yes.
10 out of 10 recommend. We all have wills, you know? I'm actually shocked, just briefly, that you didn't have to write one when you were in labor, because a lot of my friends that are giving birth now a lot of my friends that are like giving birth now have told me that they have been told that they need to have a will.
So wait, they're writing these birthing or these wills like while birthing?
I'll get more clarity on that and get back to you. I don't know if it's like that or if it's just something they're being told ahead of, you know, going into labor and delivery. Just like knowing that it's, you know, going to happen and they're pregnant and stuff. But that freaked me out real bad, actually, hearing that. Because I'm like, when you're telling someone to get a will, like, yes, of course, I know there's a risk, like just stepping outside your house. I mean, no one knows when it's going to be their time. But something that's supposed to be so joyous and whatever, and then you're out here like, oh, yeah, by the way, fill out this will in case you die during labor. It's a little scary.
That's very scary. Actually, I have a quick little story that I want to tell you before we go. I was driving, and do you guys ever see people working on like stop or like red lights?
Yeah.
And they'll be like shaking and going like all over the place, right?
Yes.
And you're like, okay, do I stop and get rear-ended? Do I keep going? And then this thing's potentially going to fall through my sunroof and literally just like smash my skull in. I thought about having a will as I was driving past one of those today. And I was like, if this thing comes through my sunroof, I am absolutely screwed.
You're like, I'm going to be so pissed. I say it all the time. I'm like, if this kills me, I'm going to be so pissed. And everyone's like, you'll be dead. I'm like, yeah, I'll be dead and pissed.
Pissed. Exactly. On that note, I have towels to fold, a bed to make, flowers to water, and a child to call back. So if you guys have not followed us on at the Southern Tea Podcast on Instagram, make sure you follow us over there. And if you have not subscribed to the show, you can do that pretty much on any podcast app, wherever you get your podcast, always first at Podcast One. We hope that you guys have a great week and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
See what's streaming free all month long during Amplify AAPI Voices on Pluto TV. Watch shows like Kim's Convenience with Simu Liu and amazing movies like Meet the Patels and Jason Momoa in Braven. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows available on live and on demand. Download Pluto TV on all your favorite devices for free. Pluto TV. Stream now. Pay never.
With festival and concert season being all about the boots, Tecovas is your stop for festival style. They are absolutely so cute, so trendy, also so comfortable. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff is at your service. Many of their stores have even leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, which is so cool. They also have regular live music and events. There's no in-store experience like the one of Tecovas. If you can't make it into a store, you can just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.